Welcome to the Elixir Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into the final Deshaun Watson show that we have to do, at least the final suspension-specific Deshaun Watson show that we have to do. So Deshaun Watson has agreed to, with the NFL, agreed to an 11-game suspension and a $5 million fine. There's some other ancillary stuff as well that he has to do in terms of like some treatment and everything. I'm assuming at this point that he will complete that. I guess that is not the safest of all assumptions based on where he's kind of been with some of the quotes he's had. But we kind of have like the screw up a free lunch metric in terms of like quarterbacks that get sacked without pressure and with wide open wide receivers. This feels like it'd be a really like a self-owned type situation. So I'm hopeful that Watson can sort of get his head out of his posterior, get this figured out, and put this behind him. So I'm sort of assuming that. Maybe I'm assuming good faith from someone that can't show it, but we'll see how that works out. But I'm not super worried about it actually being an issue. So let's turn here to some of the thoughts. So again, the difference between 6 and 11 games, I do think is notable. It brings you all the way out to a week 13 return. On top of that, right, like if you're just sitting there and you're thinking, okay, this is week 13, you look at week 14, you look at week 13, you're like, do I really want to start him? He hasn't played football in like almost 2 years. Is that something that I really want to do? It is going to be Houston, and they have the potential to be pretty bad. So we'll see how that goes. I think that's probably a situation you need to play out a little bit, right? He is going to be able to get back in the building. I think it is important that he's going to be able to get back in the building and practice before, those games, right? Before that actually occurs. So I do think that that's important. We're talking about December 4th as being the return date. But you go from basically December 4th there, that's week 13. Week 14 will be against the Bengals, on the road against the Bengals. Then you get a home game against the Ravens, a home game against the Saints on Christmas Eve, and then a New Year's Day game at Washington in week 17. That'll close out the season. So those are some pretty decent projected defenses, right? That we kind of think that the Ravens can be good. We think the Saints can be pretty good as well. Again, there's a lot that can change. But as we sit here right now, is it the best situation for 2022? Maybe not. I do think you're sitting on a first-round asset in super flex startup drafts. I do think that. And then I guess we'll kind of see from where we are there, we'll see how the season plays out. Right, we'll see how that plays out, I think, is the big thing. We'll kind of worry about week 13, 14, 15, 16, when they get there and when we see. Like, I would assume, assuming we get some good, like we get a good showing in week 13 against the Texans, you're probably going to start Deshaun Watson. Like, is probably going to be the play. That's sort of my assumption. But, if it's a so-so game or if it's a bad game, like, all right, and then you're going into week 14, and then all of a sudden you're starting them in the first week of the playoffs. And right, so I could see these situations presenting themselves. So I do think that that's something to think about here as you go forward. Again, I've done the thing, right? He ranks first among active quarterbacks in yards per attempt at 8.3. He's among quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, he ranks third all time behind Otto Graham and Sid Luckman. This is an elite quarterback. As much as anyone might want to say otherwise because of stuff that has happened on the field, Deshaun Watson is an elite quarterback. All he does is finish with top six seasonal finishes, or top six on pace for them. He either finishes with a top six seasonal finish or he gets hurt on the way to a top six seasonal finish. So he's an elite, elite player. I've talked about this before. I don't think that the history of missing a year is super impactful. You look at Andrew Luck, finished as quarterback four in 2016. He missed 2017. He came back as quarterback four in 2018, and then he retired. Vic was quarterback three in 2016, missed 2006, miss 07 and 08 after going to prison for dogfighting charges. He returned in 09 as a role player. So that's three full seasons, basically, that he didn't play. He came back and finished as quarterback 3 in 2021 and quarterback 11 in 2011. Notably, this is incredible, by the way, quarterback 3 on the season in only 12 games. In those 12 games in 2010, he had 29.2 points per game, which was 5.4 points per game more than Aaron Rodgers, who finished as quarterback 1 overall in the season. That's like a touchdown better. So that certainly didn't hurt him. I think that's one of the more incredible feats of the last like two decades, just scoring-wise. Just an incredible, incredible performance by Mike Vick. Mahomes obviously sat out his rookie season all but one game and then played 2018 and finished quarterback 1. That's a recent example. It's not the best comp, but it's a recent example. Peyton Manning's another good one. Quarterback 6, quarterback 4, quarterback 4. From 2008 to 2010, he missed 2011 with a neck injury. Then he changes teams, so he's got the Watson comp there. Finishes quarterback 8 in his 36-year-old season. That was his first season back from the neck injury, first season in Detroit, or excuse me, in Denver. He followed that up with a quarterback 1 finish in 2013, his second season with the Broncos, and that's when he set the touchdown record. So the history on these guys, like you could delve into Tannehill as well. Like Tannehill wasn't worse off. He was certainly probably better off as well. Like I don't think there's a lot of, if you're like, oh, he's set out for 2 years, like that really hasn't been a thing. I'm somewhat surprised by it, but it hasn't been a thing. It's probably a handful of ways you could go about the fixing this. You probably plan for it, right? So I'm not talking to rank amateur dynasty players here. Typically, we've thought about this. We sort of have known this. Like we've been sort of in the Deshaun Watson business. And I'm going to probably have some more content on that, by the way, going forward, which I'll talk about, probably over the weekend or early next week. There's really a handful of ways that you can sort of fix the position. I think there's really five, different ways you could sort of fix the situation you're going forward. You could, right, you could, well, there's actually six. You could go with the non-quarterback fix. That would kind of be one. I don't know how good of a solution that is. You could try and, you know, add in a non-quarterback. You know, I've talked about, you know, do you want to, right, is adding Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins the right solution to Watson? If it's a 6-game suspension, maybe not, but an 11-game suspension, probably. Like, if you have a contending window in your team, like, it's probably worth paying for that extra month, right? So I do think that that's probably something I wouldn't as much do. Like, I'd have to really be loaded to try and not fill the super flex position with a quarterback in some way, shape, or form. If you have an in-house week one starter, maybe you got Jacoby Brissett, or maybe you got some other guys, right? Your Goff, like you might have some lower end guys with Matt Ryan, someone like that, Carson Wentz, Baker, right? Like you might have some guys you can just sort of, you know, there's an old phrase in fantasy baseball, pitch and ditch. I'm not necessarily saying you're going to cut them, but, you know, cycle through them, right? You can do that. The second way you could do is to try and stream it. You can stream it with quarterbacks, you can stream it without quarterbacks. If I'm trying to fix this, it's kind of an all hands on deck. It's like a bullpen game, right? It's hey, I need to figure out, basically, I'm really trying to figure out 13 weeks, really 12 or 13 weeks, depending on how I feel about that first week back, where I need to sort of plug in, can I get a 15-point projection or better in that lineup spot? And depending on the format, right? If you're playing 6-point passing touchdowns, it's probably a little bit higher. So you're probably going to take might hurt a little bit more there. But, you know, can I get a fit between a 15 and a 20-point projection in that lineup spot, right? That's kind of what you're shooting for, and figure it out from there. So you can do that a number of ways. Like there was spots last season where Darrell Williams was the right answer in Superflex. Right? That doesn't happen a ton, but like there are those situations. You know, if you're really loaded at running back and Madison gets a spot start, like play him in the Superflex spot. You can do that. You know, you can stream Goff, right? You can do home road splits, right? You figure it out, right? It's a week-to-week situation. One thing I'd say about that too is it's a week-to-week situation where we can adjust to it too. Again, like if I were to sort of do a podcast appearance, or the Football Guys Dynasty show, it's a, like, that's a one level of talking about it. Like, you guys are really adept. Like, you guys are really smart. And you're really thoughtful, right? We spend a lot of time talking about Dynasty. It's like almost 400 podcasts a year. Like, we spend a lot of time talking about Dynasty. Use your thoughts, right? Use that process and think about how you'll do this. Again, if it's, you know, there's different ways to sort of figure it out along the way. Stream the hell out of the position. You know, anyone that's questionable, anyone that's hurt, right? You buck here, buck there, you know, whatever. Tyrod Taylor should be on your lineup, right? In your roster. Like, Andy Dalton, if Winston looks like he's back and going to be okay, like, that's okay, you know. But but really sort of grind away at it, right? That would sort of be my thought. And then you can, you know, you can play it if you don't have a great solution, like, and maybe it's a golf situation where you're like, I don't love the road matchup, I'd stream the running back. Like, again, we can sort of figure this out, but as you're streaming along, like, there will be situations that might present themselves. Maybe the Brady GM falls out of it in the first month, right? Maybe there's a situation where, and we'll get to this in a minute, but maybe there's a situation opens up where someone else becomes available. You know, if it's, you know, it could be any number of situations. Like, I can't even speculate, right? But, like, maybe there's a situation where someone else becomes available. All those things, right? You can sort of keep your options open by doing that. Your solution's probably to try and figure out something better as it comes along. But, you know, if you're just trying to play stream golf here or you know, some spot starter here, you know, if you're not super comfortable with it, right, a committee approach can get you through. You know, if it's tight end premium, you can play someone there. You know, there's a lot of options there. So don't just give up, right? Don't just bail on it. That would be the thing that I would say. It's going to be hard to sort of stream it, but, you know, if you don't have a great solution at quarterback too, but you can figure it out, right? And maybe situations will present themselves. Third, you could trade for a low-end starter. You know, I mentioned Goff, Wentz, Matt Ryan are good solutions there. It might be a good time to trade for, like, Jameis, Baker Mayfield, a couple of guys that, frankly, could be longer-term starters. Like, this might be an interesting spot to actually speculate, because you're like, all right, like, I kind of have a solution down the road, but hey, maybe I can actually find two solutions at quarterback by sort of trading, you know, I don't know if low is the right word, but you know, check out the market, see what it is. Some thoughts that I had, you know, Brady as well, but it's probably difficult to pry away a Brady guy, a Brady GM right now. He's probably contending team, sort of my thought. So he wouldn't maybe necessarily be the, you know, if you could get him for a second, that's great. Maybe someone's scared right now that Brady's doing whatever he's doing, he might retire. Heck, I mean, maybe this is even a good situation. Like, if you're desperate, like, add Blaine Gabbert for a buck. You know what I mean? Like, just keep sort of, you know, churning that spot, right? And who knows? Brady comes back, and we all laugh it off. A week from now, you're out a buck, right? Like, keep churning it. Like, don't give up. Keep churning it. Some recent trades that I thought, Goff for Michael Gallup, that's like free. A couple of thirds and a fourth. 209 for Matt Ryan. That couple of thirds and a fourth was for Goff. 209 for Matt Ryan. Carson Wentz and Alexander Mattison for Galladay, a third, and a couple of third future thirds. Yeah, I mean, that's a great trade. Winston and Darnell Mooney for Desmond Ridder, George Pickens, and a third. Hell, that might be an underbuy for Pickens right now. Baker for Kadarius Toney, right? Like, that's okay. Like, I wouldn't do that if Baker was maybe my quarterback four, but if I had to sort of figure it out and play him, like, fine, do it. You know, Brady for a second, fine. Like, that's fine. You can do that. So just some thoughts there, right? Again, the next one I could sort of say, and this is a range that I might be willing to explore a little bit more. I was a little bit, like, not in this business when it was a 6-game suspension. Now it's an 11-game suspension. I'm a little bit more interested in this. But it's the Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr type solutions. Again, I don't know how available they're going to be. But, you know, Derek Carr for Zach Wilson, Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Someone that wanted to take a upside shot on Wilson. You know, and maybe Carr's their quarterback three or something like that. Like, they're trying to take multiple shots. Derek Carr for Darnell Mooney. Cousins for a first. I trade a first for Carr in this situation might not be the worst idea either, because again, he might be able to return that as a value. So, so I don't hate it. And again, it keeps you in, right? And the good thing about that too is, like, if Carr's good, which he should be good, like, I don't think Carr's just going to fall apart. I don't know if he's going to be great, but if he's good, like, he's probably keeping you out of the basement of that pick. So again, you're fighting for it. You're sort of keeping yourself in it. And it was said in the chat today, there could be a lot of six seeds, Watson, playing deep into the playoffs in fantasy. You're trying to sort of get there. And with Watson coming back, if you're a six seed, if you're playing in the wild card round of the first round of the fantasy playoffs, you're probably punching above your weight in terms of what your record is if you got Watson on your team. So, just sort of keep that in mind. Like, there's some chances that Watson can cash checks this year for teams that come week six were like, oh, this is not looking good. So, just continue to fight it out. And I wouldn't give up, right? Don't give up. Just keep fighting it out. Some non-quarterback fix. Again, I don't think that's the best idea. Now, I was sort of exploring it earlier on in the offseason. I was sort of like, hey, what if you went out and got Delvin Cook instead of Derek Carr? Like, what if you got Goddard in two tight end premium? Like, you could do that. Again, I'm not sure, like, I want that to be, like, my week-to-week solution. But if you're going to sort of make a trade, I'd probably err on the Carr type trade before I went, and spent the same on Goddard or something like that. But I don't, like, if you're willing to sort of roll with a, if you've got like a Winston or something like that, and you're looking to sort of make a trade, going instead of making it at quarterback, because you're going to make yourself redundant to make it at a different position, it's fine. I'd probably not peg that in as being my super flex spot for 2 months, right? Like, that wouldn't probably be how I would go about it. I'd try and do other things. But again, if you're sort of amping up the depth of your team, you can figure it out, right? If you can stream it and the like there. So, maybe you have Carson Wentz. Maybe you have someone that you don't really trust, but you're like, all right, well, I can add, here's a discount player at maybe running back, or, I'm getting a deal on Aaron Jones or whatever, right? And that actually lengthens out my core. And so now it's going to allow me to play, my running back three right now. I might be actually in my super flex spot, right? Like, in some weeks. So that's a streaming spot, So, you could do that where you're not necessarily paying at another position, but I would kind of want to have an in-house spot at quarterback before I kind of did that. And I hope that helps. It's something I've explored doing. I don't think it's like the craziest thing, but I think it's suboptimal given that it's basically a 3-month suspension. You want a quarterback. You need to figure out a quarterback that could start for you. And then if you want to make trades around it to sort of, to make a dynasty trade, but I wouldn't necessarily make a starting lineup trade for, hey, I'm going to not play a quarterback at Superflex for 3 months. Like, that's probably not the right solution. Start one, it was like AJ Dillon for Brady and a first. I don't know if that's happening now. There's like a second for Jalen Hurts, Mike Williams for Kirk Cousins in a second. Like, those are all interesting things. Like, I think that's pretty interesting. Some different ideas there to help you. Again, check out the trade database as well. So one last thing I do want to add here, some fun stuff that I've been doing over on the Twitterverse here. I did some of these polls here on the different players, right? I like to sort of do stuff and sort of measure, I don't know if we're measuring effects or what, we're sort of measuring some different theories. When we get new information, it's nice to have an idea. Again, even for future reference, it might not necessarily help us now, but at least down the line, we're like, okay, let's think this through. And again, it helps us formulate some of those priors and stuff. So again, I went and if you're drafting a dynasty Superflex startup draft today and you knew Justin Herbert, insert quarterback X, I did it with Herbert, Mahomes, Allen, Lamar Jackson. If Justin Herbert were to miss the entire 2022 season but return week one of the 2023 season fully healthy as a starter for the Los Angeles Chargers, who would you take in the draft? Lawrence or Herbert? Again, so it's the same format on all of these. That was the initial one. And then I did one today, which was if you missed the first 11 games and then comes back in the 12th game, what would you do? So who would you rather have? So if Herbert misses the entire season, it was 91% of people took Herbert, 9% took Lawrence. When you fast forward and say that's only 11 games missed, it's 94% of people took Herbert. It's 6% Lawrence. Again, that's in small enough of a sample size that you could probably say margin of error. Other ones here. So I went and I did Mahomes full season. He was, Mahomes full season was, 93%. And when you look at Mahomes, just missing first 11 games, 94%. So again, margin of error, it's fine. It's pretty close. When you look as well, the same thing with Allen. Allen's up there. He's at 92%. As well for the full season. When you look at him, he's 92%. It's basically the exact same number. It's a pretty good, it's a pretty good indicator, right? Like there wasn't a substantial change. Watson, if you did Watson missing the entire, or sorry, if it was today, so I did it back when he was supposed to miss six games, Watson was at 52% versus Trevor Lawrence at 51-49. So 51-49 Lawrence. And that was kind of in the, hey, he might miss six games, but it could be the entire season. They're appealing, could be the entire season, kind of looking at the entire season. That's why I was using this entire season as a metric. When you fast forward to today, it's actually 54% would take Watson over Lawrence. There's a clear right answer to this, and it's Watson. Like there's a clear right answer. Every piece of analytics of dynasty research that I've ever done on quarterbacks would say that the right answer is Watson over Lawrence. It's not even a close call. And the interesting part about it is not only does Lawrence have to pace Watson for the rest of his career, but he's got to hurt you enough in the first 11 weeks for it to warrant taking him over Watson, right? Like that's the crazy part is it's just really wild to me that so many people are in on, you know, that people are in on Lawrence and just don't understand the Watson profile. I understand it's a headache. You know, people are moralistically saying, oh, I don't want to be involved with Watson. And I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to do, by the way. I'm going to put it out there on Twitter, but I am going to, and I'll just tell you guys, you all here, guys and gals, I am going to donate $100 to three different things. So it's going to be $300 total. I'm going to pick as a charity, it's like a child women's advocacy center in Cleveland that a bunch of that the PFF guys are doing. So I'm going to donate $100 to that. I'm going to donate $100 to one in Houston. I'm going to donate $100 to we have a women's place here that's under a little bit of fire for coincidentally enough hiring a sex offender. So that's a story that I'm dealing with in my, and I know all these people, so it's even more complicated. So I'm just going to pick the child advocacy center here. So I'm going to donate $300, three different places, all places that, you know, one's impacted where I am, and then two, where Watson was in Houston and where Watson is now in Cleveland. I don't think I'm profiteering off of a bad person, right? Because we're sort of paying it forward. What is kind of ridiculous to me is the idea that, oh, I just don't want a roster. I'm like, fine, I'll take the money. I want to win. Right. And we are the analytics of dynasty. As was said, we're not the analytics of dramatic or in-depth discussions of dangerous topics or any of this stuff. Right. You guys turn into this because it's dynasty fantasy football. We're playing a game. And so that is the game that we are playing. Right. I feel that we probably have profited from this situation. Because we're going to buy low, right? It's not terribly different to me from buying low on an injury, right? I mean, people, people with Mamba mentality in their in their promos are saying how bad of a person Watson is. I mean, give me a break, right? So I think the easiest way for me to say it is yes, that I'm fine, you know, with Watson at cost. He's cheap, willing to invest in him. And I think that probably the easiest way for me to sort of do that is to say, all right, we're going to donate some money to charity along the way too. And that's what I'm going to do. So that way, when anyone asks me that question anymore, that's my response. And my response will be, you know, unless I've seen you do something like that, I'm just going to presume that you are, you know, you're just virtue signaling, because that to me at this point is basically what it is. So that's going to be the extent of the conversation that I'm going to have about Deshaun Watson and all of this stuff. If you are curious about any of the, you know, legal stuff of it, I can sort of help you on that. It, to me, having that conversation in a public forum, outside of talking with you guys about it, isn't particularly useful, because no one wants to listen and everyone just wants to scream. But if anyone has questions, I'm more than willing to discuss them. Unless it otherwise impacts our specific dynasty teams, for all intents and purposes, I think that this Deshaun Watson suspension matter is done. So that'll do it. I'm going to, I'm going to make those donations, and I'll send out links probably in a Twitter thread as well. Just that way, you know, we can sort of, I would just wish people, instead of ranting on Twitter, would, if you really cared about protecting women, fighting sex abuse, instead of ranting and raving about it on Twitter and podcast form, like, actually do something about it. And so we're going to, I spent my first half of my career doing that, and I'll continue to do it. And this will be the form we'll do it in. So thanks for being a part of this. I appreciate it. I gotta say, like, this situation, it's nice to, like, I think that we've done a good job telling the truth about this situation. I think we've done a good job being in on this situation, in terms of being willing to sort of go, to trade for Watson at times is pretty uncomfortable. And I think that, understanding risk and reward, it's something that I've struggled with earlier on in my career, because I was worried about losing. But now we're much more worried about winning, and I'm willing to sort of take those risks that I wouldn't have otherwise been able to do. So this has been one of those situations. And again, sometimes the buying opportunity isn't great. Tyreek Hill, Zeke, some other guys there that have happened along the way haven't been great situations. Roethlisberger, Brady, when his stuff was going on, Rodgers, right? Like, just kind of being in on all those situations, there's kind of one a year. And that's something more and more that I constantly thinking about. I was reading an article recently about Eric Lindros, actually. And there was a quote in it, and it really stuck with me. It's from The Athletic, and it was talking about how, here comes a generational guy. It's a quote from someone in the Flyers organization. He says, here comes a guy who could be a generational player. You just have to be involved. It's too big of an opportunity. And I think that really hits dynasty trading on the head. And that quote is something that I think will be pretty foundational to some dynasty, to some AOD thought processes going forward. And, when we get the opportunity, you have to take a shot on players like this, right? Because the upside's well worth it. So that'll put to bed this situation. Again, we're the analytics dynasty. We're not the analytics of, melodrama. So we're going to be done with this. We're moving on, and we're on to Cincinnati. So that'll do it for this edition. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.